right. Well, in lieu of pastor being here, I get to talk to you all this morning. Because pastor's gone and John Haley is also on the tour as well. So you get me today. All righty. Don't lose that. Well, we're going to be looking at a verse here. We can all turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. Really, just that first chapter of 2 Timothy. Let me move this so I'm not hitting all over the place. All right. I think that'll work. Okay, we're 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're just going to read down through here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And it keeps going. We're going to be looking primarily at verse 7 this morning. And that one says again, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're going to be looking at what that means specifically in regards to soul winning, because really what Paul's doing here is he's exhorting Timothy to the ministry and to keep pressing on. And whatever Timothy was involved in at that point, the whole goal of that is the spreading of the gospel. So first off, we're going to define some words that are in that verse. We look at fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? And if we look at what that word fear is translated from, it's talking about a timidity, a fearfulness, or a cowardice. I'm sure Paul knew all about this, and Timothy, from Paul's greeting there, it doesn't sound like Timothy has any of these attributes. You know, it doesn't sound like he's being fearful or a coward. Let's look up some verses. Who wants to read this morning? All right, Ryan. 1 John 4:18 and Romans 8:15. We're going to see kind of how this ties in together. If you look in other places, go ahead.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Amen. So we see that the two don't mix. You know, there's fear. And there's love, and that love, we're going to see in a minute when we define that word as well. But the two just don't mix. It's hard. Look at relationships. Can you fear somebody and truly love them at the same time? You can't. Well, in a sense, not in this sense. You know, you can't be physically afraid of somebody and have that genuine love for them. I love my dad. I also fear him, but not physically, you know. I fear him as far as, you know, I have that reverence for him because he's my father. He was my authority, you know, when I was growing up. And I had that fear for him. But in a sense, there's something else I learned from him. There's two ways to obey. You know, we obey because of two reasons. One is fear and one is love. You know, you can either obey someone because you fear them, or you can obey somebody because you love them. You know, but those two really don't mix, as we saw in that verse. And Romans 8:15.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
So we see that same relationship that we just talked about. When we're saved and the Spirit indwells us, we have that relationship, and we're not servants of fear anymore. We're servants of love. So we see that. And throughout there, like we've been talking about, love. Let's go down and define that real quick. There's several different types of love in the Bible that's talked about. This specifically is the word that we're familiar with, the agape love. That's Christ's love. It's a charity. It's a selfless love. Let's give out some more verses. Who wants to read? Okay. Well, I'm gonna start picking on people if we have the same two people read. So I'll give you more, but some of y'all are gonna read too. Romans 5:5 and Luke 6. And that's going to be a few verses.
You did say Luke.
Yes, Luke 6:27-35.
What was the other one, Romans?
Romans 5:5. Yep.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Right. So we just as we talked about, it's that love that indwells us when we get saved. It's amazing how this all ties together, because we can try to go along and define these words one by one, but they all tie together. You almost can't do that, because we're talking about the Spirit indwelling you when you are saved. And because of that, you have that relationship with Christ, and you experience that charity, that selfless love. That's what salvation is all about, is God the Father sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. That is the ultimate act of charity, selfless love. Because, you know, on Christ's part, because He gave His life for us, and not getting anything in return. We say not getting anything in return, but you know, that's our part. When we're lost, when we get saved, that's really what we're doing. We're giving God and Christ what He paid for. Because if you go into a store and you pay for something, you want what you paid for, right? So if I go in and buy a hammer and I put the money down, I want to get a hammer. Well, Jesus paid that price, and as long as we're still lost he hasn't gotten what he paid for. Because ultimately, he bought us. You know, that song, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He paid the price for our sins. And so that's literally, you know, we are what he bought. But all that happens when we get saved. And the power that the power that we get when we get saved, like the verse says, not giving us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That power that's talking about, it's talking about a strength or an ability. The word that it's translated from, it literally means inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. So, what is our nature? If we're lost,
we have a sinful nature.
We have a fallen nature.
Right.
You know? So, we don't have power at all to do anything. But when we get saved, it's funny because it says power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. What, when we get saved, what resides in us?
The Spirit of Jesus. Spirit of
the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He literally comes and resides in us. And we have that power. So, we're talking about soul winning and the spreading of the gospel. When we get saved, we're literally, the Holy Ghost resides within us. We get that power. It's that power to share the gospel, to preach the gospel is residing within us. And that love is residing within us as well. Let's go ahead and read your verses. We're in Luke 6, 27 through 35.
But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil.
Okay. Longer passage, but it's talking about that charity, that love where we give and expect nothing back. Like in that last verse, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. That's exactly what we're talking about. Really, the main verse in that passage, though, that she read, and if you do good to them which do good to you, verse 33, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. It's easy to love somebody that loves you back. That's how relationships are built. That's how friendships are built. But what about those that don't love you back? Are either, you know, there, and really there's two types of those people too. There's, you know, we can go out and feed the homeless during the holidays or, you know, any time of the year, but we can go out and feed the homeless. And really, we kind of think of them as not being able to give back. we're giving to them because they can't give back, right? So there are those that we don't really expect to give back or to love us back much. And then there are those that, you know, do it on purpose, that are mean to us, that are hateful towards us, that aren't going to love us back. It doesn't matter how much we give them or how much we try. You know, the people that slam the door in your face. That's what he's talking about here. It's, you know, you can love somebody all day as long as you're getting it in return. It's reciprocating. But if that's not the case, how long do you keep loving them, you know? And that's really what the gospel is all about. Because like he says in another passage, you know, some sow, some water, some reap. God gives the increase, right? The person that sows isn't always the one that reaps. And what happens if that sower gets tired of sowing all the time? And he doesn't, you know, he doesn't see the fruit of it. That's what that's talking about here. That's the kind of love that we need, that charity, that doesn't matter if we get it back or not. We're just going to keep giving it out, you know? It brings to mind something else. That's why it's good to be in a good local church, to be in that body, that assembly. You know, people say, well, I don't have to go to church, you know, to be saved or be a Christian, or, you know, I've got a thing going on with God at home. If you're not in a local assembly of believers and you don't have that support group, let's say, where are you being fed? Where are you getting that love? Because unless you're Jesus, which you're not, you can only give out so much. You have to be fed too. So if you're never around those people that can recharge your batteries, so to speak, how long are you going to last out there just giving and giving and giving? So you need to be around those people that can recharge you. On the flip side, we all come to church. Are we all takers? Do we all come to church just to get recharged? Because somebody needs to do the recharging, right? And ultimately, that's the Holy Ghost. That's, you know, God. He's recharging us through His Word. But you get what I'm saying. If pastor is the only one, you know, pouring himself out every Sunday or every time that, you know, the church is open, if we're all taking and he's giving, he's going to get drained quick too. You know what I mean? It's a give and take. No. We all have, you know, if we're saved, we all have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in us. We all have that love within us. We need to share it. You know, it's you can't give all the time, but you can't take either. You know, it's that give and take. So that's what we're talking about. Just that back to that love and the soul winning aspect. When we're out and about, when we're witnessing, we don't need the other types of love. We need that agape love, that charity, that I'm not getting anything from this. You know, I may be busy, I may be, you know, late getting back from my lunch break. You know, I understand that, but let's use a different analogy. I'm trying to get a baby room done. I may be going to the store and I've got to get paint and this and that and everything else, and I've got a ton of stuff to do at home. But if I stop and give somebody the gospel, Is that making me later to get my stuff done? Yeah. Am I personally getting anything from that? Not physically. You know, I may get the joy of giving the gospel to somebody. You know, that's a byproduct. But really, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it because I love that person. I love that soul that I'm giving the gospel to. That's that charity. We go to the last verse, or the last word that we're defining in that scripture. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What's that sound mind? Let's give out a few other verses. John. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:40. And then the other John. Let's go to Matthew 6:33. If we look at what this is talking about, what it's translated from, it's an admonishing or calling to soundness of mind, to moderation and self-control. So when we think of a sound mind, I worked in a hospital, so it's very easy for me to think of people not in their right mind, not in a sound mind. But, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of take it for granted. You don't realize, you know, you don't think about a person being in a sound mind until you see people that aren't in their sound mind, and it's like, oh, okay, I appreciate that the majority of the world, while they're around me, are usually, you know, sound mind for the most part. So, but there's several different aspects of that. Like we said, there's the self-control and moderation. Let's go ahead and read the 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. When I think of moderation, that's literally pretty much the definition that I think of. Decently and in order, you know? We're not going to an extreme on this end or this end. Why is this important? Well, because when you're giving the gospel to somebody, really, this is important in every aspect of your life if you're sharing the gospel, because I'm not one for, you know, you show them the gospel by your life and, you know, you don't ever witness to them. You know, lifestyle evangelism. But on the other hand, it is important, because if they don't see consistency in your life, especially if it, you know, if I walk up to somebody on the street, they don't know me. But if I'm witnessing to somebody that I've worked with for several years, more than likely they know me fairly well. Do they see consistency in my life? Do they see moderation? You know, and it doesn't matter in what area, because, you know, it may have nothing to do with religion or, you know, the Bible. It may be finances. You know, am I always coming into work and talking about, you know, oh, I can barely make it, you know, and, you know, I'm talking about struggling with money, and then last week they heard about me going and, you know, buying a new boat or something, you know, I don't, whatever. But do they see consistency and moderation in my life? You know, because whatever they see, whether it's finances or whether it's, you know, let's say I have emotional problems. If I go in and, you know, I'm all chipper one day and then I go in the next day and I'm just down in the dumps. It doesn't matter what area of your life it is. they're going to look at him and say, well, he's a Christian and he has this problem. You know, he's a Christian and he can't get a hold of his emotions, or he has mental health issues, you know, because nowadays you do anything weird and people are going to say you have mental health issues. I know, because they get brought into the hospital for whatever reason anybody wants to say. But I'm just saying, we need this moderation in our lives. Just for that witness. We are, there's no way around it, we are an example. People look at us and they pick us apart. You know? Let's not joke each other. We all look at other Christians and pick them apart. You know? It's not the right thing to do all the time, but we do. And, yes, do you have something?
No, Jessica was raising her hand.
Yes.
I just wanted to add something to something you said.
Sure.
About the people that get drained from people constantly that are giving, and then there's no, you know, recharge
sure.
and love or whatever, but in my experiences with that, with, you know, people that I love that are constantly draining me, there's no greater recharge than the love of God that I get from Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. And that's a good point. And, you know, it's really, that's the difference between earthly love, our physical love, and the spiritual love. That's exactly that charity, that Christ love that He gives to us. Because there's a difference between, you know, getting drained and then I can go out and, you know, for me it's fishing. I can go out and go fishing and that recharges me, you know, as far as physically, and I can clear my mind and everything like that, but it's not the same as coming to church and being fed by God.
No.
And there's a huge difference there. So that's a good point. If you're going to get recharged by God. That's what that boils down to. But yeah, we're looking at this sound mind. We're looking at moderation. We talked about others seeing it in our lives when we're witnessing to them. I also see, as far as the moderation and the self-control, when we're talking to someone and we're sharing the gospel, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, we have to, I'm not saying it's bad that we learn our verses like we are on Sunday night. That's a good thing. And to, you know, to witness, you need to know some of your scriptures. You need, you know your testimony. You know, there are those things that are good to know, but let's make sure they're not a bunch of pre-recorded answers. You know, let the Holy Spirit guide the conversation as well. Because if you're doing it in vain, if you're going off a checklist. I'm not saying checklists are bad. If you can't remember all your verses, you know, by all means have a cheat sheet or whatever. But if you're doing it, it boils down to this. If you're doing it by your own strength, just forget it. You know, you need the Holy Spirit with you. As far as the self-control and the moderation, also, if we're gonna defend the faith and if we're going to give an answer to every man of the hope which lieth within us, you have to be spiritually minded. You have to be focused on God's word. You know, that means in your personal life, that this is where that moderation and that self-control comes in. You can't just fill it with whatever you want. You know, I didn't get up this morning and watch an episode of my favorite TV show or listen to the radio coming in or whatever, because I don't know, maybe some of y'all can do it, but I doubt it. I know I can't go from, you know, whatever it is, let's just pick something, guns. I can't think about guns and, you know, shooting and everything I enjoy and all that. I can't flip straight from that to, you know, the gospel. What we feed ourselves, we're going to think about. So if we're always, you know, looking at the TV and listening to whatever, I don't listen to politics or the radio. My radio never goes on in my car. I listen to music on my phone, godly music, but I never flip on the radio. I hate talk radio just because I don't want to dwell on those things. So if we're always in tune with, if we're always entertaining ourselves, it's going to be a whole lot harder to focus on, you know, the gospel and what we're trying to get across. It's why pastor studies for his messages. It's why I studied for this morning. You can't just think about whatever you want and then all of a sudden be ready. You prepare for what you want. Are you preparing to be entertained, or are you preparing to share the gospel? And that's when we need that self-control in our lives. Because do we all want to just relax and play games and you know, all that? All of us like to have fun, but we can't do that all the time, right?
That's right.
You know, some people in this world nowadays think they could do that and they need to get a job. But
amen.
Anyway, so that's the self-control. That's the sound mind, really, is just being able to focus on your goal. And I mean, in today's world more than ever, we see that. You know, it's sound mind equals common sense. Let's just put it that way. And really, common sense is the common sense we get from the Lord. And nowadays, you know that there's not a lot of people out there that can just think rationally and have that common sense. And that's tough, but we need that, you know? So, we've kind of gone through, we've looked at the exhortation here from Paul to Timothy and how it applies to soul winning, because, like I said, that was Timothy's main goal, that was Paul's main goal, that's all of our goals. So we've looked at what that means. How does that apply to us, though? If we look at, let's look at real quick, what's going on with Paul when he's writing this? Because if I'm trying to figure out what something means, if I'm trying to figure out what a passage means, what's the context that it was written in, right? Paul was writing this from jail. He was in his second imprisonment, which was not like his first. His first one was, he was basically imprisoned in his own home. It was house arrest. And, you know, if I'm going to get imprisoned, I would prefer it be in my own house where I'm comfy, you know. But this wasn't the case. It was literally, I mean, it was pretty much a dungeon. And you know, he's not being treated the same as he was the first time. And he has no visitors. Everybody came by and saw him the first time. Nobody's coming by and seen him this time. He, you know, we're talking about not having the spirit of fear. Paul had a lot he could have feared. He could have feared in his predicament there. We need to be ready to be like that. But right now, we have virtually nothing compared to that. You know, we're not imprisoned. Even in our own homes, we're not imprisoned. We have that freedom, that liberty to move about. We have religious freedom for now. We have religious freedom in this country. We can share the gospel to whomever and whenever we want. It's not an issue. We don't fear for our lives every day. You know, at this point, Paul was on his way to Rome to be martyred. So, I mean, God's given us the spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. You think people on death row that are ready, you know, to have their life ended, you think maybe they could feel powerless? You know, what can I do? You know, there's literally nothing I can do. You know, we talk about a sound mind. You think somebody that's on death row and feels powerless, you think they could go insane? You know, there's much less that can make you insane. I see somebody come in the hospital that's full of drugs. That can make them insane, you know? And why? Because they feel powerless. Because they have that spirit of fear, you know? Paul's exhorting his protege to stand fast in faith. He's showing that charity, that love, not only to Timothy, you know, his brethren, like we talked about, not only Timothy who loves him back, but ultimately Paul's showing that charity to those that Timothy is going to go minister to, that Timothy is going to reach, because Paul is showing charity to those of Timothy's ministry, you know. He's exhorting Timothy to go out and reach those that won't love him back. So he's thinking, if you want to call it that, thinking ahead, you know. It's not just him, it's not just his friend, but it's those, you know, those that can be reached elsewhere. you know, looking through this, when he's writing this, no doubt, you know, it brings back memories to Paul. You know, because he can look back at times when he's seen this in somebody's life and when he's not seen this in other people's lives, when he's seen the fear in other people's lives. We won't turn to it. I'll read it real quick just for time's sake. But one of those people that he could have been remembering was Stephen. You know, Acts 7 in the latter part of that, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, which we know later was named Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, there we look at the fear, the spirit of fear that it's talking about. We defined earlier that cowardness. Stephen wasn't a coward. No. He that group, that mob that he was preaching to, real good chance he knew that, you know, that could have been their reaction. And yet he said it anyway. It's interesting, verse 55 there that we read, but he being full of the Holy Ghost. That's that power that we said, that inherent power that's in you. That's that Holy Ghost that's in you, that dwells in us. He spake with boldness and power to a group of people he likely knew were going to stone him. It's interesting because it says they gnashed on him. They gnashed on them with their teeth. And what happened after that? It's not that they gnashed and then they stoned him. They gnashed on him. And then he proceeded to say what he saw in heaven. He saw the heavens opened up. You know, he could have been quiet about that after they started gnashing on him, but still he pressed on. You know, we see all that. Why did he do that? Because he had that charity. He had that love for the people that didn't love him back. It definitely took sound mind to do that, you know? If somebody starts beating on me, I'm probably gonna lose control a bit, you know? We need that sound mind. Obviously, we don't have people, I mean, most areas of the world, we don't have people trying to stone us nowadays if we preach. But what adversities do we face? They can be obstacles. We can have bad weather or our car won't start. I mean, in comparison to Paul or Stephen, wow, really? You know? So what, you get a little wet, you know? If your car won't start, either call somebody to pick you up or, hey, guess what, you got neighbors. Just walk, go tell them, you know? What will they think? Did Stephen say that when he was getting stoned? What about discouragement when they spit in your face or they yell and scream at you or even threats and violence? We're not going through anything that Stephen didn't go through or Paul didn't go through. Or, hey, we're not going through anything that Jesus didn't go through. So, instead of fear, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God in you. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And that Spirit brings along with it power and love and a sound mind. And let's use it. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.